unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, as has been previously announced during the four Sundays in the Advent season, we will consider the general theme, the ministry of John the Baptist. Last weekend, we heard that John the Baptist was not some self-appointed preacher, and we considered the specific theme, John was called by God. John had a divine call. And today we will consider the specific theme, who did John say that he was? Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John the Evangelist, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John the Baptist was about 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. You will remember that the angel Gabriel came to that aged couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and told them that they would become the proud parents of a baby boy, who, of course, would have a very special calling. And the angel Gabriel was sent by God then, 6 months later, to the Virgin Mary and informed her that she would give birth to a child who would be called the Son of God and the Savior of the world. John the Baptist did not get a lot of publicity until after he began his public ministry. He got some publicity when he was born, and all of the neighbors and everybody else wanted to get in the act for the naming of the child, and they suggested that he ought to be named after his father, Zacharias. And his mother, Elizabeth, said, "No, his name is going to be John." And of course, they weren't ready to accept that. And so they motioned to Zacharias, who had become mute because he doubted the word of God. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, and then he spoke at the same time, "His name is John." So John began to get publicity, however, later in life, because after he was born, we're told that he went into some kind of seclusion out in the desert and remained there until he began his public ministry. So Scripture is really silent on most of the life of John the Baptist. Then we're told in our text that the Jews sent priests, Levites, and Pharisees, representing the various religious views, to ask John the Baptist the simple question, "Who are you?" And that wasn't some idle question with reference to his birth and his name. It was a question that they were asking because he's out here in the desert teaching and preaching and baptizing people, and they're flowing to him in great numbers. And so these religious leaders wanted to know really what is so prominent about John the Baptist and really what is going on. As far as the religious leaders were concerned, the ministry of John the Baptist was something altogether different than what they were accustomed to. The priests and the Levites, of course, led the people in their worship and in their prayers and in their sacrifices. Now, the Pharisees were members of a very strict religious group. In fact, they had all kinds of rules and regulations which were beyond what is recorded in the Word of God. And they felt that God had to accept them because of what they were doing. They thought they really were somebody special. Immediately, you think of the Pharisee and the publican who went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood there in the temple thanking God that he was not like all of the other people around. He didn't do this and he didn't do that. And then out of the corner of his eye, he caught that publican, that tax collector, standing a short distance away, and he thanked God, I'm not like that tax collector. The tax collectors in that day didn't have a very good reputation, but I guess we can say the same thing also today. And the tax collector stood, he didn't even look up to heaven, but smote himself upon the chest and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Scripture says that he went down from the temple forgiven. The Pharisee did not. However, none of the Pharisees were involved in a ministry comparable to that of John the Baptist. And here we have to remember that all of these religious leaders, the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees, they claimed they were the people whom God had chosen to teach everything in the temple. John the Baptist didn't hesitate to respond to the question of those religious leaders who had come. We're told in our text, he confessed and did not deny. They ask, are you the Christ? Are you that promised Messiah and Savior of the world of whom all the Old Testament prophets had written and spoken? And he simply said, I am not the Christ. I'm not that promised Savior. He, of course, was simply answering their question. And then they said, if you're not the Christ, what then? Are you Elijah? Now, in the minds of those people, they had the story that the prophet Elijah of the Old Testament came back from the dead and was now among the people. Now, in Holy Scripture, the prophet Malachi says that Elijah indeed was going to be the forerunner of the Savior. And this was, of course, John the Baptist, as Scripture clearly states. But because they were thinking of a different Elijah who once lived in Old Testament times and now had been raised from the dead, John, of course, could later answer very honestly, well, I'm not Elijah either. Yes, he was the one of whom the prophet had written. But that was something altogether different from what the people were thinking. The third question of the delegation was, are you the prophet? And John answered, no. 1,500 years before Jesus was ever born, Moses wrote that God would raise up a prophet from among his own people who would be the one who would come and be the promised Savior of the world. Now, Moses wrote about that prophet, but when they said, are you that prophet of whom Moses wrote? No, John the Baptist says, I'm not that one either, because that prophet is the coming Savior. So he answered all of their questions, but they really weren't satisfied at that particular point, and still went on wondering just who was John really. He was the promised forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would come and prepare the way and announce to all of the people that the promise that God had made way back to Adam and Eve, that he would send a Savior into the world, and then that promise was repeated throughout the Old Testament, and John the Baptist says, now that time has come. The time has come according to God's calendar to fulfill his promise to send a Savior into the world. 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah wrote that the one whom God would send would be our comforter. As sinners, we need a comforter. And as sinners, what is the word of comfort? Is there a word of comfort in you have to do this and you have to do that, or don't do this and don't do that? No. For us as sinners, the word comfort surrounds God's promise. You are forgiven. Your sins are washed away. They're all blotted out by the promise of the coming Savior. And now the Lord Jesus was about to enter upon his ministry. And Jesus, of course, would give all people, as he still gives us today through his holy word, that promise of comfort. We are forgiven children of God. Oh, indeed, Jesus and John the Baptist also preached a message of law. They touched upon people's sins and their particular sins. But there's no comfort in pointing out all of our sins. When I talk about your sins or my sins or anybody else's, you don't all keep on saying, oh, tell me more. No, you'd rather I would just keep quiet. But no, we have to talk about sin on the basis of God's law, not on the basis of people's opinion, because people's opinion isn't in harmony with the law of God. But then we have to have the message of comfort, that our sins are forgiven and washed away. Oh, indeed, John the Baptist was a great preacher. The Lord Jesus had this to say about John on one occasion. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. That's where Jesus presented John as the great preacher. And what was he preaching? A message of sin and grace. A message of hope and comfort. And when we hear that message of hope and comfort and forgiveness, what can we do but rejoice, lift up our voices and sing, give all glory and praise to God who has blessed us all through the fulfillment of his promises. And so Christmas and Advent is a season of rejoicing, a time to rejoice that God has had mercy on you and me and has forgiven us and has thrown open wide the gate to heaven through which we enter, not on the basis of our works, what we have done or what we have left undone, but by faith. We take God at his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have his promise, you shall be saved. And that's why we rejoice in the Christmas and Advent season. And we have and sing our favorite hymns, as we did a short time ago. But listen to the titles of some of the favorite Christmas hymns. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Rejoice, rejoice, believers. All my heart this night rejoices. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. Come rejoicing, praises voicing. Now sing we, now rejoice. Hark, the herald angels sing. O rejoice, ye Christians, loudly. Praise God the Lord, ye sons of men. We Christians may rejoice today, and we can go on with still many more. And when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your only Savior, it has to move you to burst and to lift up your voice rejoicing. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.